morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. Welcome to snow. I hear yay from some people. I was asked, are you excited? I said, it can snow all at once I'm back home. Yeah. Snuggled under a blanket with some hot chocolate, but right now, not so much. Have you seen these?
Yes.
Good. That's step number one. Step number two is to fill them out. These we need to collect before All Saints Sunday, which is November the 6th. On the top, I would like to have you list any friends and relatives who have died since last November. These are people who have not previously been recognized. And then in the second group, is anyone else, no matter how long it's been since they've gone on to the church triumphant? And we will be recognizing them in three categories. First, those members of our congregation who've died in the past year. Two, those people that you've put in this area here. And three, all the rest. Understand? Good. Because we're going to ring a bell for each category. Okay? So I just want to clarify that. So all the people that you'd like to list, please do so. And then you can drop them in the collection plate, give them to Jean, give them to me. We do have some announcements. Our pantry volunteers for this week are Kathleen and Ron McPhee. Tuesday at 10 a.m., we're scheduled to have a Bible study here. And Thursday at 2 p.m., the bell choir will be practicing. If you would like to hear the bell choir, you have an opportunity today to do so, because they will be playing over at the UCC. Our bells were just sent out for servicing. So thank you very much for the contributions that you've made toward the servicing of the bells and the establishment of a maintenance fund for them. So the bell choir will be playing chimes instead, and they sound quite lovely. So if you want to come on over and listen to them, or tune in to the UCC's broadcast, and you can listen to them that way. But it's never the same online as it is hearing them in person. Do we have any other announcements?
And I'd like to add on to what you were talking about, the bells.
Yes.
I'm so thankful that people are supporting the bells in the ways that they are. I want to bring your attention for the people here in the congregation. The last number is one of our bell choir's favorite numbers. It is Beethoven's song. And I well remember one of our Vesper service, we had almost a standing ovation because we rang that joyful, we adore thee. And again, it's written by Beethoven in the beginning. And somebody else wrote part of it too. So anyway, thank you for your contributions. It's very meaningful for me, because the bells are wonderful.
Yes, they are. And what I think is even as wonderful or more wonderful is that this is the first time the bells have gone out anywhere since COVID began. And I hope that it is the beginning of their going out to other places, such as Amy Holt, Agape, the Senior Center, the Veterans Home, because there's such a wonderful ministry. I think it brings such joy and delight to the heart to hear the bells and chimes. So thank you for your contributions and your continued contributions to help maintain our bells. They are supposed to be serviced every 8 to 10 years. They've gone 20 years without servicing, so I'm looking forward to having them back and hearing them ring even more joyously. Any other announcements? Then let us begin with our confession and forgiveness. Please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Morning Has Broken, number 556. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Amen. The Canticle of Praise can be found on page 169.
Thank you.
us pray. Holy God, our righteous judge, daily your mercy surprises us with everlasting forgiveness. Strengthen our hope in you, and grant that all the peoples of the earth may find their glory in you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 14th chapter of Jeremiah. Although our iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. Our apostasies indeed are many, and we have sinned against you. O hope of Israel, its Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a stranger in the land, like a traveler turning aside for the night? Why should you be like someone confused, like a mighty warrior who cannot give help? Yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. Thus says the Lord concerning his people. Truly they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them, nor will he remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Have you completely rejected Judah? Does your heart loathe Zion? Why have you struck us down, so there is no healing for us? We look for peace, but find no good, for a time of healing, but there is terror instead. We acknowledge our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our ancestors, for we have sinned against you. Do not spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. Can any idols of the nations bring rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Is it not you, O Lord our God? We set our hope on you, for it is you who do all this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 84 responsibly. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts.
My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrim's way.
Those who go through the Boston Valley will find a place of springs, where the early rains have covered the pools of water.
They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will be seen in Zion. The second reading is from the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support. All deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the last few weeks, our gospel readings have forced us to wrestle with some difficult concepts. The dishonest manager who tried to make friends for himself by summoning the debtors of his master and reducing their debts. Jesus being chastised for healing on the Sabbath. Jesus talking about hating anything or anyone that prevents a person from following him. In comparison to past weeks, today's passage seems simple. The message, easy to understand. It involves two men, a Pharisee, and a tax collector. So many times in Luke's gospel, Pharisees and tax collectors are pitted against each other like two football teams. Team Pharisee, the righteous ones, the ones who play by the rules, the ones without a speck of dirt on them. Team tax collector, the despised ones, the ones who break the rules, the ones covered in mud. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of reversal, where the last go first, the first go last, the humble are exalted, and the exalted are humbled. Thus, Team Pharisee, the ones who should be the obvious winners, are the losers, and Team tax collector, the ones who shouldn't have a prayer in the world of winning, get the trophy. You have to remember that Pharisees are not bad people. Instead, they are the ones who hold the law in high regard. They are expected to be good, upright, and honorable. Tax collectors, in contrast, were hated. They made their living by collecting taxes for the Romans. Whatever they collected above what was owed was kept by them as their salary. By the very nature of their profession, they are seen as sinners. They are traitors to their own people. So, in our gospel reading today, what did the Pharisee do wrong? And what did the tax collector do right? Why is the despised tax collector the one who goes home justified? Both go up to the temple to pray, and they both go down afterward. This appears to be a time of public worship where during the service they both utter private prayers. This may have been during the morning or evening when the atoning sacrifice was made on behalf of all the people. Once the sacrifice had been made and their sins had been covered, the way to God was open. As the incense rose, the worshipers offered their personal petitions. The Pharisee stands by himself because he considers himself righteous and despises others who are not like him. The tax collector stands far away, at the very back or side of the worship space. The two men pray, but their prayers sound very different. Look at the prayer of the Pharisee and notice the number of times that you see the word "I." God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Then he lists various sinners before going back to himself. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. I. It is likely that he is praying aloud, which serves to remind everyone who can hear him how pious and righteous he is. As he stands apart from the other worshipers and prays aloud, he offers a few words of judgment as well as instruction in righteousness to those worshipers around him. The tax collector, standing far off, does not even look to heaven. He looks down, beating his chest, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He does not compare himself with anyone else. He does not ask God to consider his sins to be less than any of the other worshipers. He does not attempt to explain or justify any of his sinful behavior. At the beginning of the lesson, we read that Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be moral and virtuous, upright in character, in compliance with the laws and standards of the society, free from sin or guilt. The Pharisee clearly is righteous. He is a model of virtue, and he is right. He is not like other men in that he is not a thief, a rogue, an adulterer, or a tax collector. He has not only kept the law, but gone beyond its requirements. He meets the American slang definition of righteous. He is awesome. He prides himself on being a perfect example. No, a more than perfect example of what it is to be a follower of the law. But while he is righteous, he is not justified. What does it mean then to be justified? Before I was a pastor, before I was a lawyer, I was a copy editor. Part of my job was to be sure that the copy we had was camera ready, ready to be printed. Sometimes it meant correcting justification errors. We used justified alignment, a very common choice for newspapers because of the neat, straight edge appearance on both sides of the column. It looks clean and formal, and the text takes up less room than other alignments. Improper justification is a formatting problem that prevents the lines on a page from looking the way that they should. Making sure that the copy was justified meant putting it into correct alignment. That's the image I think of when I think of justification as it is depicted in this parable, being in alignment with God. That's the problem with the Pharisee's prayer. It is out of alignment with God's will. It is focused inward rather than toward God. It demonstrates that he trusts in himself rather than in God. It is about the things that he has done, not what God has done or what God will do. The Pharisee is righteous because of what he has been able to accomplish, but he is not justified. His faith is in himself rather than in God. In contrast, the tax collector's prayer acknowledges his sinfulness and his brokenness. He does not lift his eyes toward heaven, but he lifts his heart to God as he begs for God's mercy. He knows that he is out of alignment with God's will. He seeks God's mercy not because of who he is, but because of who God is. As one commentator stated, he stands afar off, anxious not to be seen, sensing his unworthiness to stand with the participants. In brokenness, he longs to be a part of it all. He yearns that he might stand with the righteous. In deep remorse, he strikes his chest and cries out in repentance and hope, "Oh God, let it be for me. Make an atonement for me, a sinner." There in the temple, this humble man, aware of his own sin and unworthiness, with no merit of his own to commend him, longs that the great dramatic atonement sacrifice might apply to him. The last stanza tells us that indeed it does. If we think of this parable as giving an example of how we should pray, we can easily fall into a trap. Lord, thank you for not making me like this Pharisee, self-righteous, trusting in his own merits, looking down at people like the tax collector. Yes, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people who are such good examples of how not to pray. I come to worship regularly. I give a portion of my earnings to the poor. I take pride in my humility. Do you see the problem? Jesus is not saying that we should not thank God for the blessings that we've received. Indeed, God deserves our thanks and praise, for all that we have comes from God. God does not need a litany of reasons why we are important, reasons why we think we are better than other people, reasons why God should answer our prayers rather than the prayers of those people. God desires that we trust not in ourselves, but in God, that we acknowledge that we are sinners unable to keep God's commandments, and that we come in prayer seeking to be brought back into alignment with God's will through God's mercy. The tax collector asks God to judge him, not based on what he has done, but based on who God is. God declares that this man, who has fallen out of alignment with God's will, is justified. He is justified not because of his own merits, but because God says so. Lord, teach us to pray as the tax collector did, to come to you in humility, acknowledging our sinfulness and brokenness and our need for your grace and mercy. Let us turn to you in true repentance for our sins. Help us to trust in you rather than in ourselves and our accomplishments. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let us join together in our hymn of the day, which is number 801, Change My Heart, O God. Let us together confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all of God's creation. God of mercy, you are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Inspire your church to serve and love all people with the unceasing grace you extend to us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of all creation, you formed a world where even the sparrow finds a home. Preserve the beauty and diversity of all creatures with whom we share the earth, Lead us to protect all living things. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of peace, you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. Rescue families and nations torn apart by violence and warfare. Unite all people toward common goals of reconciliation and peace for every person. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of hope, you stand with the suffering and give strength. Comfort your people filled with fear or anger, anxiety or shame. Bring healing to all who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, especially those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. And comfort those who grieve, O Lord. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of restoration, you call us to trust in you and not ourselves alone. Make this congregation a community of humility and repentance, ready to encounter you in love and follow in your ways. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of eternal life, to you be the glory forever. We give you thanks for all who have fought the good fight, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. For these who have fought the good fight, who have finished the race, who have kept the faith, and now live with you, we pray. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory give thanks.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace bless you.